We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Gets it, spins away, baseline shot. Shea puts it in and walks it off and out takes it. Giddy keeps it himself and takes it up as he glides with the finger roll.
What is up and welcome to the Uncontested Post-Game Podcast Edition. I'm your host for tonight, Nick, joined by Jacob Niffen. As the Thunder win a game of significance, 101-100 over the LA Clippers, three straight wins over the Clippers this season, twice back at home in Oklahoma City early on. They win tonight in LA. Massive, massive, massive game for a number of reasons. A, tiebreaker. B, climbing the standings. Just an absolutely incredible game by the Thunder. We'll get more into it first. Just want to give a quick plug. Obviously, we are brought to you by the Blue Wire Podcast Network and DailyThunder.com. And if you don't already, please subscribe wherever you get your podcast. Leave us a 5-star rating. I imagine we have a lot of new listeners over the past few weeks. The Thunder have been not great the past couple years, been a lot better of late. So if this is your first time tuning in, welcome. If you're a loyal listener, also welcome. Jacob, big picture takeaways from this game. I want to hear some of yours as well. For me, like, looking holistically at this game, before we dive into the game flow and what happened each quarter, like, poise is the word that sticks out to me. Like, the youngest team in the NBA, I think youngest or second youngest in NBA history, is down 18-4 to start the game. There's two directions that can go. There's like the chip away, like a veteran team would do, or there's the you go down worse from there and it's over in the first quarter. And this team fights back. Not only do they chip away, they lead after quarter one. It's like, what do you see from this team from a poise standpoint and from a just playing way older than they are?
I mean, yeah. First, but before I answer the question, Nick, I got to give a shout out because it is currently in the morning. It is 12:06 a.m. Central Time, and this live stream is ridiculous.
It's popping off.
The team degenerate is out tonight, staying up late for the stream. I mean, what can you say? We make a big deal out of things like mindset and culture and like all these words and phrases that coaches like to say. I'm going to make Silva do some editing before this one goes up on the stream. I mean, that shit's not just talk. They live it. Like, they talk about the 0-0 mentality. They talk about the 48-minute game. That's cute. It's whatever. They don't talk the talk. They walk it. Like, 4-18, and they just came out and thought, like, screw this. Like, we're just going to hoop. We're going to do our thing. And the Clippers started this game like locked in defensively. The Thunder looked a little shell-shocked. They did not look like the aggressors. And you know who, after that 18-4 start, came out and looked like the most aggressive guy on the court? The rookie.
Yep.
J-Dub just came out and cooked in that first end of that first quarter and that start of that second. Had like 11 points at the half. And I mean, was just doing some absurd shit.
Future star.
Dude, Zach Lowe on his podcast that dropped today, yesterday, I tweeted out the quote. He said, Paolo better finish strong because J-Dub.
KOC said the same thing tonight.
Do what? Yeah, KOC said the same thing. Yeah, I mean, yeah. Dude, that my brain is in a billion places now.
Same.
That play where, was it the fourth quarter? I think it was the fourth quarter where they saved the ball on the baseline. J-Dub gets at the top of the key, sends Kawhi flying, and just goes in and throws down a dunk where his elbows are at the damn rim. Like, yeah. I started speaking in tongues.
Yeah. So, before we move on, I just want to say, we have 126 comments in the first 5 minutes of this live stream. Keep them coming. I have a feeling this one will probably go later than a general post-game pod, given the severity of the situation. If you have questions, comments, keep sending them in. We'll try to highlight as much as we can, talk about as much as we can.
We'll stay up late. I don't care. I'll show a video in class.
We'll stay up late. Again, incredible game. Team plays beyond the years. The culture stuff Jacob talked about, couldn't agree more. It's talked about a lot. You see it in games like tonight. My second takeaway is...
But before you give your second takeaway...
Yes, go ahead.
We're 6.5 minutes in. We've buried the lead. Yeah. He didn't get a goddamn shot off. 20 seconds, no shot clock, chance to win the game.
We're skipping to the end.
Homeboy couldn't get a shot off, Nick. Hey,
not homeboy. Like, we're talking a guy that is averaging like 2-time finals a MVP game on 50-50-90 shooting in the past like month.
Couldn't even get the shot off. Not it was a bad shot. Not it was an ill-advised shot. Not it was like a shot that was off. He couldn't shoot the damn thing.
Yeah.
Part of it is like he should have passed it. That was...
But he's a superstar. Like, he shouldn't pass it. He should be able to get a shot off.
I have to go on the record. Like, I have been negative of Lu Dort since the All-Star game. And rightfully so. Like, he has been not very good. Offensively tonight, Lu struggled again. Right? Didn't score. Had only like 1-3. Was he like 1 of 8? I got it right here. Hold on.
Oh, 5 in the first half. I think he hit the
one of 8 from 3.
Yeah.
3 of 11 from the floor. The road woes continue for Lu. But goddamn.
And why'd he get paid?
Clamps.
Yeah.
I mean, absolutely refusing to get screened.
I mean, that's like... There's a lot of Lu Dort moments. One of them is against LeBron with the hands in the face. Like that was viral.
This one goes on the highlight reel.
Right. Like I haven't been on Twitter since we fired this up live. My hope is that that's viral right now. My hope is that that is like making its rounds on Twitter. Lu Dort, like it was like, I don't think it was a full 24 second. I think it was like a 22 second.
It was 21, 22, right
like,
around there.
It was a full 22 seconds of like fighting over screen, shuffling feet, getting into him. Like it was, if you are a
Lu Dort got more cardio in that 20 seconds than I did in my hour and a half gym session today.
It was like textbook. Like that's what every coach wants their players to be. Half of it's effort. Like 90% of the NBA dies on like the third screen and he fights over every single time. Bonkers.
Insane. I had to get that out of my system. I don't know how fired up you were, Nick. After he got that shot off after the buzzer, I just sat there and stared at my TV screen and midnight just screaming the F word over and over at my television.
So I had a different experience. I called you after the game. Shout out Clay Sally for bringing back to reality. So whenever we're covering Game for the Uncontested, to give you like a little bit of background, we're all like I'm taking notes tonight because it's my game to cover, tweeting out, taking notes, like, what am I going to talk about? What happened during the game? What are the themes? Yada, yada, yada. And so like, you're kind of like, would you agree, Jacob, covering a game is kind of tough because you can't really fully focus the entire time. Like, you're up and down, like typing notes, et cetera.
Yeah.
I thought it was a tie game when Kawhi was doing all that and Lou was locking him up. So when he doesn't get the shot off, I think it's overtime. And Jacob texts me and says, firing it up. And I text back and I said, oh, we're going to do this thing live. Like, I'm thinking we're about to go 5 minutes of overtime live. And Clay Sally, friend of the pod, loyal listener, if he's not on live now, I'll be listening in the morning, said, what a win. And I'm like looking at my phone, looking at the screen, and I'm like, holy shit, the Thunder were up one. Like, I was so like typing notes, looking up. I didn't even realize they were up one. So I had the delayed reaction that you had of like the, I didn't scream the F word at my TV five times.
5 minutes like, after the game, you said,
yes.
Oh God, this is over.
It was, I mean, Lou Dort, as much slack as he gets, got paid for a reason. Do I think he'll be on the team this time next year? I still don't know. Like, that's like, tonight's game doesn't change that thought process, but underrated still. Like, he doesn't get, I'm not saying he's defensive player of the year, he doesn't get all defensive team recognition ever. And I think he deserves it. Tonight's a good example. Agreed?
He just worked his ass off.
Yeah.
And the whole night he guarded guys that were 5 to 7 inches taller than him.
Yeah. It's crazy. He's good at what he does. Moving on, next big takeaway.
Yeah, there's so much from this to talk about.
There's a lot. I mean, and there's no rush like getting through. Like, we're going to be here for a while.
Nick's got me thinking I'm going to be here till like 2 a.m.
Well, if it happens, it happens. Like you said, play a movie tomorrow. The SGA dominance post All-Star break. I didn't realize this. I was, again, when you're covering a game, we all have like assigned games we're covering. We're like looking up stats and like things to tweet out, and like things to put in the post game. I'm like looking at post All-Star game stats. And in my head, I'm thinking, I'm going to, you know, filter points per game since the All-Star break. And I expect to see like Joel Embiid at the top. Like, this guy's front runner MVP, passing Nikola Jokic, putting up bonkers numbers, just scoring at will. And then I'm like, wait a second. SGA is leading the NBA in scoring since the All-Star break.
That's crazy, dude.
Like,
Insane efficiency.
Right. And 6 months ago, on this here podcast, The Uncontested, we are debating. In fact, I lost a bet. We're debating SGA making the All-Star team. Fast forward, the Thunder, what are they, the seventh seed out right now?
I think
owning
so.
The tiebreaker over the Mavs. They're the seventh seed.
Matt Moore, Hardwood Paroxysm, tweeted tonight that the Thunder, at this point, very much in play for fifth.
I mean, that's a fact.
Fifth!
That's a fact. They're seventh in the West and play for the fifth in late March with 10 games left, 11 games left. And SGA, not only is he top five in scoring for the year, he's leading the NBA in scoring since the All-Star break.
It's stupid, what? Dude. Yeah, we were debating. Like, it was mildly hot take to say that that he would be an All-Star preseason. Like, it wasn't super hot. I think a lot of people kind of felt that way, but it was like,
it was more the competition than him. Like, the West was loaded.
Yes. And then right now the question is it first or second team All-NBA?
Right. Which is insane.
And if they bypass the play-in, it's first team.
Yeah.
You can't tell me, like, you cannot tell me otherwise. Games played, production. Here you go. Since the All-Star break, Shea is 53% from the floor, 45% from three, only 86% from the free throw line.
goodness. He's good. What he's doing, like, you look at Vegas odds, and Vegas odds don't mean anything in the grand scheme of things. Like, that doesn't, Vegas odds don't mean this person's going to win this award, or this person's going to be all NBA or rookie of the, whatever. But he's like, both from like the NBA.com MVP ladder and Vegas odds, I think he's like seventh. An MVP.
Yeah. And it might go up after tonight. After people wake up and see what they did tonight.
And let's go ahead and get this out of the way. The Thunder have swap rights with the Clippers. So in the circumstance, they were to beat the Clippers Thursday, beat the Lakers, you know, kind of continue and surpass them. Like, there's swap odds on the line. Like, it's, I think they're what now, 1.5 games back of the Clippers, if I'm not mistaken. It's off the top of my head. There was an injury tonight, and I think you and I both would agree, do not like injuries. Like, I don't care if this is like the difference between the Thunder making the play and not, like, you don't want an injury. Like,
yeah, you hate to see dudes get injured.
Especially former Thunder players that were fantastic. Yeah.
And I mean, we saw how much like PG shoulder injuries really damaged like Thunder postseason runs.
Yeah.
So you hate to see it. Nothing malicious there. Like, it should not.
But have it has been to be out. Talked about, because it's going to be a real factor if it's a thing.
Yeah. So like you said, I also have not been on Twitter. I just pulled it up because I'm trying to. I saw a tweet. Clippers George helped off with apparent leg injury. Apparently, Woj already has an article up. Typically, it's not good if Woj writes an article.
No shit.
I hope it's not bad. My assumption would be he's probably not playing Thursday.
Yeah, for sure.
Because I mean, it didn't look good. Your knee's not supposed to move like that. You know, it's not supposed to go backwards.
No.
But yeah, like you mentioned, Thunder are 1.5 behind the Clippers right now. Clippers are at 5, Thunder are at 7. So they're 1.5 behind the Clippers with another game against them on Thursday, possibly without PG. That's a huge one. And you mentioned like playoff seeding is on the line.
They got pick the tiebreaker.
Pick swaps are on the line. You already own the tiebreaker now. Worst you can go is 3-1 against the Clippers this season, which is not what I had on my bingo
especially
card.
Especially given the first two wins were like early.
Really early.
Yeah.
First 8 games of the season.
Yeah. I mean, they were injured as well. Like, I don't think Kawhi was playing it. Like, I know Kawhi didn't play the first two.
Yeah, and PG didn't play one of the first two.
Yeah. So, regardless, the way this team continues just to like exceed expectations, like break the norm, do things they're not supposed to do. We've been saying this for a long time. Like, we've been saying like playing with Monopoly money, but it feels like we're Monopoly billionaires now. And like,
yeah,
like not only are you playing with Monopoly money where it's like, oh darn, you run out. Like, you got so much money, you can't run out.
Yeah. This one felt like a high stakes game too. Like, I don't know if you felt that, Nick. It almost felt like playoff-ish. Just the intensity of the game. The past two.
Yeah.
What great experience for these young guys.
I got down a rabbit hole a few nights ago and was like crunching numbers on the past, I forget what it was, 5-10 years of 10 seeds. And it's a little different now because like you're more incentivized to be a top 10 team. But I crunched some numbers and I looked at like a bunch of analytics projections and stuff. And what I came down to was if the Thunder win 39 games, they're probably in the play-in. If they win 40 games, like, I would be shocked if they were not in the play-in. What was tonight? 36?
Yes, 36 and 36.
So let me take this back a bit. This is the week the Thunder got to
500. Hey,
I hadn't thought about that till just now. I made that exclamation on the podcast like a month ago, six times ago they had the chance to and couldn't do it. They finally did it. They're at 500, 36 and 36 with, what is it? 10 games left. 10 left. So based on the numbers that I crunched, and I'm just a random guy that didn't know anything, if they win three more games, they're probably in. If they win four more games, they're definitely in. That's very doable. Like, at this point,
you've got Portland on the schedule. You've got the Jazz on the schedule. You've Pistons. Got Pacers, Pistons.
Hornets?
Hornets on the schedule.
So you just amplified my question. How confident are you that the Oklahoma City Thunder are in a play-in game? That Portland one feels big because they're like
50. I'm
kind of inching up.
I'm 50-50.
Oh, I'm more than 50-50, I think.
I'm 50% it's a playoff game. I'm 50% they bypass the playoffs and they're six.
So 50 play-in, 50 surpass.
Yes.
So you're 0% chance they miss.
They're not in the lottery, my guy.
Wow. Okay. I was going to say seven. I thought
unless,
you were saying
50. Unless Shea goes out to dinner tonight and gets shot or something.
Okay. I thought you were saying 50% chance to make the play-in or playoffs. So you're saying you're sold. I was going to say 70-30. Like, there's still a chance Portland inches up or the Utah Jazz going to run.
No. It's done.
So you're preparing yourself for a play-in game.
I'm preparing myself to, like, tomorrow I am putting together the document of teams that the Thunder may face and people we know that write and podcast of those teams so we can get a guest on the show and scheduling post-game playoff pods.
Okay. Selfishly, hoping for Dallas. For a playing game. If it's in Oklahoma City, fine. If it's in Dallas, even better. I will host you guys, obviously.
Oh, we're coming down. We're getting in and out.
Yeah. Oh, for sure. I'll host you guys. We should have... We haven't talked about this. I don't want to, like, promise anything on the air, but, like...
They just beat the Clippers.
Some kind of party or watch show or something.
We got to do something.
Like, that's a big deal.
Very much
from Black Eye of the NBA and the Hornets are doing it the right way to this feels significant. Yeah.
They still don't have the number two pick. Who warmed up again today?
He looks
tonight,
good. Watching him warm up on Sunday against before the Suns game, not against the Suns. He does.
Do you have other big? There's a lot of things from this game that we still got to cover.
Yes.
Do you have takeaways? Do you want to get into like quarter by quarter? Like, how do you want to dissect the rest of this?
I don't think we need to go quarter by. I do have notes on quarter by quarter. I don't know if we need to per se. I would leave it at if you did not watch tonight's game, you're doing yourself a disservice by listening to Jacob and I give you the breakdown. Go watch it. Like, there's YouTube has like NBA.com's 9-minute recap worth your time. I do have two more takeaways and we can kind of wrap them into one and like talk about both. The first being SGA ultimately did like take over the game. I think he had the final 10 points in the third quarter and then did his thing in the fourth. But the fact that the Oklahoma City Thunder were able to stay in it and like maintain a lead and or trail closely without him like balling out is impressive. Like, agreed. We talk about this team without Shea. I think outside of Oklahoma City, people who don't follow the team closely would say Shea misses. Like, let's say Shea or missed the Lakers game, second night of back to back. Mark's talked about maybe that's off the table. Maybe he will play the second night of back to back. I think the average NBA fan outside of Oklahoma City would say Thunder are cooked. Like, they can't do anything with SGA. That's probably true. Like, big picture, they're not as good of a team, obviously. But they've got guys. Like, we've seen Dub take over games and be a lead dog. So that's the first takeaway, is like this team has players outside of shape. To piggyback on that, not even Dub, who had an awesome game, Isaiah Joe. Maybe I'm a fool. Coming into the season, I'm like, yeah, good three-point shooter. He's going to play his role. He's going to get 12 minutes a night, knock down a three or two. Better version of Lindy Waters. Great. Like, good signing. more recently, he's been in a deep bag. Like, drive the lane, step back between the legs, reverse, kind of pull up. He's hitting, like, the pump fake sidestep. Like, offensively, fantastic. Like, much better offensive prospect than I ever expected this early. Defensively, also making massive plays. Hit that steal on Kawhi in the corner, like holding his own defensively. There's a lot of guys that are like three-point shooters that cannot play a lick of D. Like Davis Bertans in Dallas can never take the floor because even if he makes two or three threes, he's given up 30 on whoever he's guarding. Like Isaiah Joe can actually hold his own defensively. So two takeaways, just to recap. Team has some guys outside of SGA, specifically Isaiah Joe, who has been very impressive recently. Want to hear your thoughts.
Yeah, I mean, this team talks a lot about not putting guys in a box and letting them explore their game.
Which, to the outside world, sounds like a Prestiism or some or BS quote.
Yeah.
But it's real.
It is real. And that is why you see guys like Isaiah Joe. Nick, you mentioned it. When I remember the day the tweet came across that the Thunder had picked up Isaiah Joe, and I tweeted out a meme and I said, all NBA media, oh, the Thunder signed Isaiah Joe. That's a good signing. And then I put, Thunder fans, where do we get minutes for this guy? Because we got so many dudes to develop. This is why you take flyers on guys like this. You pick them up. You let them explore their games. It's not lip service. You let them explore these things. He came in that Dallas game, went supernova, hit like five threes in the fourth quarter, and they won it. And he was like strictly a three-point shooter. Tonight, I watched him drive in, hit a step back, hezzy, blow past his guy for a little like 5 foot runner. And I was like, where in the hell did this come from? He's defending Paul George on the perimeter. He's digging in, stealing the ball from Kawhi Leonard. He's skying over guys for offensive rebound, saving possessions. That's the type of shit that gets you a contract and keeps you around in the league for a long time. You're seeing it from Isaiah Joe. You're seeing it from Lindy Waters. You're seeing it from Jay Will, right? When Jay Will came in, he was not supposed to be a three-point shooter. And I mean, I think I tweeted at you tonight. He had a play where I think it was the second quarter. He caught a pass at the top of the key, hit a head fake, made his man go flying, took one dribble in, drew the defender, and then dropped off a pass. Just how cerebral he is.
Yeah.
They let their guys play through their stuff.
Yep.
And on the other side of that, they come out and they look awesome. Isaiah Joe is Exhibit A. What a hell of a pickup. They got this guy for two more years at like $2 million.
It's like Lou Dort all over again. Like, it's just like free money.
It's like value of like dollar per dollar value. One of the best values in the league.
100%.
Like, right? You're yeah. Paying this kid, what is it? 1.5% of the salary cap. Salary cap's at like 115, 120, and they're paying him like 2.3.
Yeah.
You're like at 1.6, 1.7% of the cap. That's dumb.
Yeah.
He was awesome tonight. Absolutely awesome. And even though he missed the shot, you mentioned at the start of this show, Nick, I said Kawhi wouldn't pass the ball there in that final possession. You're like, well, he's a superstar.
Yeah.
You know who did pass the ball on the final two offensive possessions? Shea.
Your guy. I guess our guy.
Yeah.
All of our guys.
First one goes to Isaiah Joe. Beautiful look. Just didn't drop. If that one would have dropped, this podcast would have been me shirtless. And then the next one, he just clears out and lets J-Dub do his thing. I thought it was a good look from J-Dub. Just didn't rattle down.
Yeah.
And when I will be very honest with you, when the J-Dub shot didn't rattle down and 22 seconds are left and the Clippers rebounded the ball, my verbatim said, F, I'm actually not going to make Silva edit a whole bunch. I said, F, they're going to win this game. meaning the Clippers.
What you didn't see coming was I don't watch every game across the league every night. Like, I'm not like, I watch League Pass a lot. I'm not a League Pass junkie that watches every game or every replay. I would still be confident to say that is a top 10 individual defensive possession of the entire damn season.
That one, the one against Jamal Murray in Denver, the one against Dame in Oklahoma City. He's got a string of them.
Yeah.
It's incredible.
Yeah.
So much more to talk about. We haven't talked about J-Dub yet.
I was literally about to say, J-Dub is your guy. I want to give you just like a quick moment to give your thoughts on him tonight. And then I think holistically, a lot of the listeners probably want to hear our take on the Rookie of the Year campaign and the late push, yada, yada, yada. So like, even outside of this game, I think it's an appropriate forum to discuss that quickly.
Okay. I want to talk about J-Dub and Josh. Is that okay?
Yeah. Yeah.
J-Dub, 20 points, 8 rebounds, 3 assists, a steal, and a block. Over 50% from the floor, 50% from 3, 100% from the free throw line. Kawhi's a big dude. Paul George is a big dude. And J-Dub physically looked like he belonged the entire night. And the aggressiveness he played with, he had the baseline cut for the dunk off the pass from Olivier Saar, who we should probably mention. Big time dunk. He had that blow by on Kawhi Leonard and threw one down. Had, I think both of his threes were like catch and shoot step in threes, which were awesome. That's the one we've been talking about, Nick. I re-listened to our draft night podcast the other day. And we were talking about, it was
how much shit did I talk on J-Dub?
It was awesome. Like, we were all just so hyped. It was.
I was not hyped. I'll be completely honest. My evaluation of J-Dub pre-draft was off. I was evaluating. I think
it was for everybody.
For sure. I mean, the fact that he dropped at 12. Yeah. I was evaluating him as like this wing that had some guard skills that translate, and this dude is like, yeah, I'm a point guard, but I'm also capable of playing center if you need me to. Like, what?
Yeah.
Insane.
It's crazy. He was so aggressive tonight. I felt like he struggled in that Suns game with the physicality, especially from Torrey Craig. And then I felt like tonight was the opposite. I felt like he learned from that experience, and tonight he was the aggressor, and it was awesome, dude. That two-handed throwdown, and he just lets out that primal scream coming back to the bench that you can hear on the broadcast. Erotic.
His pop is...
Oh, we noted this seeing him in person at Summer League.
Yeah.
How quick he gets off the floor is impressive.
It is, like, when he dunks, it's like that. It's not like this, like, gather... bend the knees, jump up, like throw it down. It is like boop, boop, it's done. It's over.
Yeah. You know what, Nick? His brother's more athletic.
His brother is going to be very good. Probably, while J-Dub should have been a top five pick,
his brother
Cody will be a top five pick. If not, hot take number one.
Dude, I would love to get Cody in Oklahoma City. Amen in the chat. So we mentioned it earlier. I got to mention again. This chat for 12:30 a.m. is
insane.
Stupid. Shout out to all the degenerates. You guys are the freaking goats.
I've been scrolling for like 30, 45 seconds, and I'm not at the top.
It's insane. If you are not subbed to the YouTube channel and joining us on these, who cares about work the next morning? That's why coffee exists.
We are working in the morning, and we are still here.
So J-Dub, Shai Gilgeous-Alexander combine 20 of 40 from the floor, 3 of 8 from 3, 8 of 9 from the free throw line, 15 rebounds, 7 assists, and 51 points. Those are the two things you've gotten so far from the Paul George trade. I think that trade worked out pretty good.
I think that is why Steve Ballmer looked so excited early on when this was looking like it's trending towards a blowout. He needs like that short burst of adrenaline. Like, I didn't lose this trade that bad. Look at this. Kawhi and PG are incredible.
Yep.
But, sorry.
Hey, even if his team loses, that dude's like a multi-billionaire. He's no worries. We saw him at Summer League.
We did.
Literally just like hanging out in section 103.
Yeah, he's just walking up the stairs slowly and
with no security.
Grabbing legs.
I was like, yeah, this dude makes my salary in like the next 10 minutes.
Probably less. Probably 1 minute.
Probably. That's depressing.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Craig is usually a fan of water cooler talk, but it's draft season, and that's all anyone wants to talk about. The Athletic has loads of articles about this year's draft, but Greg doesn't have The Athletic, so now he's filling up his water bottle in the bathroom sink. Which, to remind you, is the sink people use after they use the bathroom. Get The Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
Josh Giddey.
Yep.
5 of 12 from the floor. 0 of 3 from 3. 13, 6, and 6. Just a pedestrian Josh Giddey game. 13, 6, and 6. He had a move, Nick, where he drove in on Paul George, gave him a bump, and then a spin around midi pull up off the glass. I felt like Josh was very physical tonight. Maybe I've said a lot of plays are my favorite plays of the game tonight. One of my favorite plays of the game tonight was early on when Shea drove in that first quarter, dropped off a pass to Josh, who just went straight through Paul George's chest and hit the layup for the and one.
I was going to say the same thing. Like you talked physical and taking to the rack. That was my play that I was thinking of.
Yeah. I love it when he plays aggressive and he's still trying to find a way to do that consistently. I thought defensively he played very physical tonight as well. And you really, really love to see that. You wish some of the threes would have fallen. I thought they were good looks. They just didn't go in. I thought he was great. It was interesting that he didn't close the game. I'd be fascinated to hear Mark's comments on that. If he commented on it at all, I don't know. I haven't seen post-game quotes yet. Maybe he just didn't close because Isaiah Joe was just really freaking good. Another note from the game was I thought size was going to be a massive problem. Because
Sar was not bad.
No, I thought Sar gave really good minutes, especially defensively.
Mostly good minutes. Times where it's like, oh God. But there was other times where it was like, wow, that actually was a very impactful stretch.
Yeah, he had a massive block on Kawhi Leonard. Yep. He had some really good rebounds.
Nice pass to J-Dub.
Really nice pass. He also received a nice pass that he just like fumbled. But Zubats, or as Michael Cage likes to call him, Zubat, the thing that you encounter in the dark cave in Pokemon Red. He was feasting early on.
He's good. He's also very underrated.
It made me very worried
that
we were just going to get annihilated inside, kind of like that Toronto game with Jakob Poeltl. He doesn't see I don't even know if he saw the court in the fourth quarter. And that kind of took my mind down a rabbit hole, Nick, of like, oh God, is this going to happen with Chet? But the difference is Chet can space out to defend. Yeah. Chet can shoot threes. The versatility of Chet, you're not going to be able to play him off the court.
Yeah, agreed. My last thought on Giddey, it's always very like refreshing to hear an external point of view.
Sorry, I didn't mean to laugh. These comments are getting me though.
I was gonna say, what did I say?
This dream is getting me right now.
It's good to hear other like external people that don't cover the Thunder talk about players, like hearing their thoughts. The Suns game on Sunday, sitting next to Dwayne Rankin, who covers the Suns, and he said something along the lines of Josh Giddey should be more aggressive because if he wanted to, he could score 20 a night. There's no question. And then yesterday, I was texting with somebody that covers another team, asking their thoughts on the Thunder, and they said Josh Giddey is very surface level on what he could do. He's a very pass-first kind of guy, which is a good thing. Wants to do the things that the team needs to win. But if Josh wanted to go, like, if he was on the Houston Rockets and wanted to just go put up numbers, Josh could average 28-8 very, very easily. He doesn't, but he has that upside, which makes me think, like, down the road in a playoff series, if someone gets hurt or if it's a matchup where Josh can exploit something, like, he has upside that we really haven't seen given his, like, the nature in which he plays, where he is a pass-first guy. Like, he's, you mentioned the aggressiveness, like, the physicality getting to the rim. What if he decided, I'm going to do that all night long?
Yeah.
He could.
What, dude.
Straight up.
And it's just a number, I know. He's the second youngest guy on this team.
Yeah.
He's younger 20. Than J-Dub. He's younger than Chet. Like, when I was 20, like, it was hard to take, like, anything seriously. Like, this kid has a lot of growing to do as a basketball player. He's got a lot of growing to do, like, physically as a human, bulking up. Preseason, yeah. Coach said he can put, like, another 15 pounds on that frame.
Probably.
If he plays at 240, are you kidding me?
Yeah.
He's your starting power forward.
Yeah.
And he's just got a lot of growing to do as a human, like, mentally, right?
He's ahead of his years, but...
Yeah, he's definitely wise beyond his years, but he's got so much growth ahead of him that these things, like being more aggressive and taking these shots and all that stuff, he won't be in his physical prime for another 8 years.
Yeah.
You know?
There's a lot of incredible basketball ahead of him.
Like, there's a lot of incredible basketball ahead of this team. The oldest guy.
They're going to be...
Was Shea the oldest guy who played tonight?
We didn't see Dario. Obviously, Kenrich is out.
I think Shea's the oldest guy that played tonight.
If that's the... How old's Sar?
That's a good question. Sar might be older than Shea.
He is... 24.
Same age as Shea.
Same age. Might be...
Oldest guy that played on the floor tonight was 24 years old for the Thunder, and they just beat Kawhi Leonard, Paul George, Russell Westbrook, Marcus Morris, Nick Batum. Nick Batum's old enough to be half this team's damn dad.
Remember what happened to Nick Batum last year when Che played against him?
Cooked his ass.
Literally crossed him, pull up, bang.
I don't know if you saw, I tweeted tonight, Oos guarded Batum for a while.
Yeah.
And I said, it's like him looking in a mirror, but in 20 years.
I would have loved to see Oos play some of the Sar minutes. Like, Oos is not a center, but situationally, I think he could have.
Mm-hmm. He did have a possession where he guarded PG that I thought he did really well. Used his body, used his chest, slid his feet, shut off the driving lane, forced a pass. Really good look.
Yeah. Agreed.
Another guy that's got a lot of growth ahead of him.
Oh, I mean, when Presti drafted Usman Jang, what he's envisioning for him to do at the NBA level, I don't think we've even, like, I wouldn't even say like we've seen the surface. Like I don't think we've seen any of what Pressey's envisioning, like at all.
Yeah, for sure.
Unless you've watched the G League, like try to like look at what he's done in the G League and pretend it's against NBA players. Like maybe that's probably closer to what Pressey envisions. I don't think we've seen any of what Jang's going to be long term.
I think that's fair.
Which is a,
speaking of G League, Poku strung together a few good games.
Let's chat about that briefly.
Okay.
I am not the conspiracy theorist that says this team started winning in January when Poku got hurt.
Because Poku got hurt.
Right, right.
They did start winning after he got hurt, but it's not because Poku wasn't playing.
Correct. And I think there are people that have tried making that argument. I strongly disagree. When he does come back, and Mark made a comment, was it pregame today or postgame Sunday, basically saying Poku is playing with the blue, but their season ends in a week. Take that as you will, basically. Implying Poku will probably come back for the last 5-6 games of the season.
Yeah, and a couple of games ago, Mark said that he wouldn't start him when he came back, but they hope to get him back on the floor with the Thunder, and Poku just wants to do whatever he can to help the team, and that's the right mindset to have coming in.
So my question is, this team is wildly different from the team it was when Poku went down, in a good way. Mm-hmm. A lot of guys have stepped up, Jay Will specifically, like balling out more recently. Where does he fit? Like, I'm not talking like, does he start? Does he come off the bench? Like, who does he take minutes from? Like, where does he fit overall? Like, how does he, like, what skill set or what does Poku bring to the table that will help this team the most down the stretch and then also like in the play-in/playoffs?
Oh, it's the Poku nectar, Nick. Give me that sweet, sweet nectar.
The offensive facilitation, huh?
It's all about that facilitation, that connecting both sides of the floor, the rim protection. Tonight, Poku, not a good shooting night in the G League. I don't think they give a shit about how he shoots in the G League. Like, you kind of know what he offers you. Here's the impressive stuff from tonight. He didn't start. I don't think he has been starting. 8 rebounds, 8 assists, 3 steals, 4 blocks.
That's a Poku line.
Just doing all kinds of stuff, which is awesome.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
He fits exactly what they want to do offensively with this team. He's the guy that can pick, pop, catch the pass, swing it, screen, relocate, screen again, drop off a slip pass, cut back door, do a catch and shoot 3. I mean, he can take it off the rim and push it up the floor. He does all kinds of stuff, makes very quick decisions with the ball. Like, he fits in exactly what they want to do.
Yeah, I'm with you. Amen in the chat. I don't know if we've said explicitly what he wants you to say, the obligatory. I think it's on you to say it.
Oh, yeah, I already said it. This team doesn't even have Chet yet.
Okay, good.
I think I got it in at like minute 26 or something.
Making sure
like
that. We got it in because Eamon's a loyal listener and he needs to hear it. I'll put this one on you as well. We're going to go through some questions here real quick. Playoff setting. Let's pretend the Thunder make the playoffs, which is a real, real thing. Like, it could happen. I guess I would expand on the question. A, how many players does Mark play? And B, outside of the starters, who on the bench actually gets minutes in the playoffs in a shortened rotation?
It's a great question. The conventional answer is like 8 or 9 players play.
I don't think this is conventional.
Mark might play 12, dude.
They've quite literally said conventional gets you to the middle and you're mediocre. Like, we are not following conventional. Like that's an actual quote. Like, we don't follow conventional.
Yeah. The 5 that have been starting, pretty
both
much Jay since
Wills,
Christmas.
Both Jalen Williamses?
The both Jalen's, Dort, Shea, Josh. Like, they are all playing playoff minutes. Isaiah Joe, without question. Dario Saric, I think, just because of the experience and the veteran leadership.
Yep. Like, he was on a finals team until he tore his ACL.
Yeah.
It was like playing.
I think Aaron Wiggins.
In a spot situation, 1,000%. I could see him being a guy that plays 0 minutes game one, but like 17 game two, and then
yeah,
two in game three, and then 20 in game
four. How much minutes he's getting recently, does Lindy see postseason minutes?
Lindy's been really, like, we haven't talked about him.
Dude, defensively, he has blown my mind.
Yeah, yeah. He's been really good.
Yeah. He's just got that dog in him.
Surprisingly. I think it's the change in the hair. He went from the ponytails to the braids, and I think it's working for him.
Yeah, it's been awesome. He's been, I thought that Suns game may be the best, most impactful game of his career.
Yep. Craig asks, be honest, who expected the W tonight? I will be the first to say I came into this game thinking they're allergic to 500. They've had every chance to get there. They're not a good team on the road. The Clippers are essentially fully healthy. Probably going to be a loss. Jacob, did you have a different mindset coming in?
I was hopeful. I wasn't banking on a win.
Yeah.
My thought was, if you're going to win two of the next four, one of them's Portland, and then the most important one is probably the Lakers one because you're in a race with them.
Yeah.
After tonight, you are in a race with the Clippers as well.
Yep.
When it was 4-18, I was like, I got a new book today, and I was like,
you didn't think you're going to be potting right now.
I was like, I might be reading my new book at 11 p.m. tonight.
Yeah.
Did not read my new book at 11 p.m. tonight.
This probably would not have been as fun if that had continued.
We would have over 150 people in the stream at 1 a.m.
It would be me and like three people right now. Not fun. Next,
let's hit some more of these. We can't get all of them. There's no way.
Literally no chance. Next one, I think this is a hard question to answer. Like, this isn't Taurean Prince scoring 35 for the Timberwolves last night. Like, this is a game in which, as you would probably prefer to see, it was a team effort. But if you were to credit one person for the win, who would you? I mean, we gave player of the game to Lou. Like, is that who you would credit the win to, even though it was a one play thing?
I mean, it's hard not to say Shea when he goes for 31 on 12 of 25, 31, 7 and 4. I thought J Dub was incredibly impactful in this one.
Yep.
I might go Isaiah Joe. He went 2 of 8 from 3.
Wow.
But he's a +8. He led the team, Paul George was a +15. Wow.
He was good. Wow. He was really good.
Also, shout out to Russell Westbrook. He had a good game. I wanted to see him fail because he was playing the Thunder, but he played really well.
Yeah.
Was very aggressive.
Yeah.
Go figure. Russell Westbrook being aggressive?
Crazy. We got Hayden Peterson, a very close friend of the pod. I don't think he's calling yet. I think he's actually asking a question. So we've all said Dub could be the reason Dort could be out the door at some point. Like Dub is coming into that starter role. Does tonight change your opinion given how good Dort was defensively? Because I think we've all said that Dub could evolve into a equally as impactful defender, even if it's not point of attack, like on ball D, it could be a equally as impactful, like disruptive team defender. Does this change your opinion or no?
I think the argument is like Lou's defense was pivotal tonight, especially in that final possession.
Yeah.
Flip side of the coin, if Lou hits like 3 of 8 threes instead of 1 of 8, you're probably not having to get a stop in the last second to win the game. And this one is in the bag with 3 or 4 minutes left.
Good point.
So where does that trade off? Right. I don't know.
Like the one play to win it versus the three that
I still think offensively what they're trying to build, Lou is the odd man out. I can't think of an analogy. It's 1 a.m. But he's doesn't fit the mold of what they're building offensively. I think that's just very evident. Yeah. That's not because he's not making shots. It's the good decisions, the quick decisions, the efficiency, the ability to pass, all that stuff. Guys like Lou definitely have a role. Maybe it's off the bench, kind of like what we saw when the Thunder played up in Portland that game after Lou was injured and he played off the bench. Maybe it's something like that. But I think the balance of offense to defense is fascinating.
Yep, agreed. This is more of a comment from Meek Leak, but when we did preseason win projections, if someone had mentioned 36 and 36, 500 in late March, I think they would have been torched and kicked off the podcast.
Some of us got kind of bold and said like 28 or 29.
I think.
Or 30.
I haven't listened back to that pod, but I think someone said 30 and it was like, oh, you're an idiot, dude. Like, what are you talking about?
Yeah. I think 41 and 41 is very on the table right now. Very on the table.
I think it is too. And I think 41 and 41 would get you a home court play-in game. One of our last ones here again from Meek Leek. How have you felt about Mark? Feels like he's been the coach for a long time. My opinion, when the Thunder hired him, I figured he would be a developmental guy that probably gets displaced when this team is ready to contend. He's been really good this year. But I think just like everything, you are judged based on relative expectations. So from a player standpoint, you are judged based on what you're paid. If you're paid $40 million a year, what you're expected to do is a hell of a lot different than a guy that's paid $5 million a year. From a coach standpoint, kind of the same thing. It's not money. It's more like just overall expectations. Like if Mark was coaching a team that was supposed to win 50 games and they win 40, you're saying he's a horrible coach. They're projected to win 24 games and they win 40. He's a great coach. Mm-hmm. So I don't know. I don't know if he is. I still am not here sitting here saying like he is the coach for the future for the next 5 years. I don't know. Like we've still not seen this team like next year. Jacob and I talked about this a couple nights ago. I think he talked about it on the post game after the Suns. The Thunder are going to have humongous expectations next year. And whether or not they're actually good enough to be expected to win 45 games, they will probably be nationally the team that's like expected to break out and be the sleeping giant. And if they win 42 instead of 45, is Mark a bad coach? No, it's just relative expectations. So a lot to say. He's been great this season, but again, it's all relative to what the team's trying to do.
100%. Couldn't have said it better, Nick.
We
got to hit this one.
Yeah, go ahead.
I am, you guys might make fun of me. I'm an old who doesn't know much about YouTube. Like I watch YouTube videos a lot, but I'm typically not like in the streams and the chats and stuff. But somebody paid money for us to read a comment. So love Colin it. Reed, you are the king degenerate spending actual American dollars.
Love it.
On the uncontested podcast. Hey, speaking of. I wore this bad boy tonight.
Wow.
The SGA OKC throwback.
That's like, what, 2020?
Yes. This is one of our early ones.
Yeah.
So you guys should hit up cottonbureau.com. Go snag. We got the Lutang Clan shirts, if you're a big Lutang, Lou Dort guy. We've got the J-Dub shirts. We've got the All-Star shirts. We've got everything. So go get yourself some swag. Colin says, Kevin O'Connor saying SGA. Very well be on his MVP ballot.
Wow.
And whenever they vote, I think they vote top five.
I think so. I did not
Jay's gonna get some votes.
I wonder if is that a tweet? I am gonna go, like Jacob said, we've been live streaming for an hour. So I saw the KOC tweet about J Dub rookie of the year making his case. I did not see the Shea Love, but that is refreshing that people that are like, I don't think people understand that covering 30 teams is so damn hard. Like you have to have no life, watch basketball all day, look at stats all day, talk about basketball all day. So when somebody like KOC, who's awesome, gives the Thunder love and actually has like watched games, you know, they're doing something right. My opinion. Jacob, I don't know. You had the same. No,
100%. Okay. I mean, this team has gotten more national attention, Nick, in the past 10 days than they have in the past 2.5 years.
As they should. As they should. So Eamon here has the exact KOC tweet. Shai Gilgeous-Alexander is going to sneak onto some MVP ballots for the fourth or fifth spot, maybe including mine. I don't think it works like that, though. I think they vote on one MVP. I don't think there's like a... Maybe it's like first, second, third.
They fill out a top five.
I thought it was 1, 2, 3, not 1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
No, they fill out a top five.
Okay.
I'm almost positive. I am almost positive.
Nick. Well, good for him.
As fun as it's been, It might be time for bed, my guy.
I agree. It's 1 a.m. on the dot, Central Time. We've got some weirdos that are Eastern Time. It's 2 a.m. for you. We've got
shout out to the degenerates. Yeah, we also got some Aussies who are like hanging out at 7 p.m. at dinner watching like, us.
It's early. Keep going. It's been good. The Clippers, once again, on the docket Thursday night. The Thunder will be within half a game if they pull off that win. We'll see if Paul George plays. Again, we have no ill intentions. We do not like to see injuries. But if he were to be out, it's a huge advantage for the Thunder. They follow that up with the Los Angeles Lakers that don't have LeBron, followed by the Portland Trailblazers, who by that point might not be playing anybody besides Shaedon Sharpe.
Yep.
I think all that to say, this win tonight kind of catapults what could happen going forward in a big, 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 big way. They're 500. It feels like that breaking through point. Had 150 on the stream tonight, 150 plus, probably 400 or 500 comments. Thursday night, we'll be back with you.
I will be back with you.
Jake will be back with you.
Maybe we'll rope Nick into coming on if they win.
Maybe so. I think we should have the whole damn squad. Like, if they win that game, you're a half game out of 5 or 6. It should be Groupon style, my opinion. Anyways, be back with you guys Thursday night. Another 9:30 Central Time game, late night, West Coast. Talk to you then. And as always, Thunder up.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.